If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Corinthians 10:31, and we will all stand and read that, not read it together. We'll all stand while I read it in respect for God's word, and then we'll have a word of prayer before we start. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Father, we thank you for this time this evening. I just pray that you help us all to focus, that you will help each one of us to take something away from the message that we can apply to our lives to walk closer to you. In his name we pray, amen. You can be seated. In public speaking class, I'm gonna hit this because I'm always messing with my tie. In public speaking class, they always told us that you should tell a joke or something to, you know, relax and things before you start. I'm not gonna do that, and I'll tell you why. Because first of all, I can't remember them. I start telling the jokes and I start laughing. And before I get done, I tell the punchline. And it happens almost every time, correct? Wendy will tell you that's true. So I'm not going to do that. I will tell you this, though, and I don't want you to feel bad, Dan, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Pastor already knows. I was supposed to speak, about a month ago? And I had studied my lesson, had it all done. And Dan gets up and preaches his message on the same thing that I was going to speak on and use the same passage of Scripture and hit a lot of the same points. So obviously God didn't want me doing that when he wanted me to do something else. So I am. And that's just a little story to kind of make Dan feel bad. No, don't feel bad. It happens all the time. It's no big deal. When I used to sing a lot of solos, I would go to church. I'd be prepared for a song, and invariably the week before somebody would sing the song I'd been practicing. And it happened quite a bit too. So it's just one of those things that you just roll with, right? So anyway, you know, we live in a world today where most people are generally self-centered. They think more about themselves and about what they can get and what they can have and what they need and what they want, and not so much about other people. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of people, I can't do this. I'm going to have to put them on as I need to. I don't normally wear glasses except to work on my computer. There's a lot of people that do good things, that serve other people, and that capacity of service, I'm talking about in Christian circles and in secular circles. But many of them today, even when they do that, it seems that many of them put on a facade of caring for others, but really deep down inside, they're trying to heap recognition upon themselves and bring attention to themselves and have other people feel good about what they're doing so that they'll feel good. Probably not really the right reason to serve other people and do things for other people, but it happens a lot. And it happens even in Christians' lives today, unfortunately. So we're going to talk a little bit tonight about service and about what that means and about what we can do to serve better. Before I get started, so we'll kind of have an idea of what we would consider service. I'm going to ask you all to participate just a little bit. It's just, and raise your hand and I'll recognize you and you can give an answer, but what are some ways that we as Christians can serve? I mean, and you can think outside the box. It doesn't have to be just with other Christians. It can be in general, because I think the Bible clearly says that we're supposed to serve others, not just fellow believers. So what's some ways we can serve?
Hospitality.
Witnessing. He didn't raise his hand, but that's okay. I figured somebody would just yell it out, and that's okay. Somehow I figured it'd be Don, too, because I looked at him when he said that. I'm going to keep hitting this, too. Other things?
Sing in the choir,
mowing the lawn. You've done a couple of those things, haven't you? Other things? Yes?
Praying.
Amen. And you can pray if you can't do anything else, right? You can pray from anywhere at any time about anything. Oh, I thought you were raising your hand, Brother Arden. You're just fixing your glasses. Other things? Raleigh? What? Fellowship. Okay. Kind of along with hospitality, sort of, but not necessarily exactly the same. Yes?
Visitation with our shut-ins.
That was my number two one on my list. Prayer and visiting shut-ins. Number two. So, what else? Yes?
Fix a meal for someone.
Visiting a hospital. That's also on my list. It's a good thing we're teaching this lesson tonight. It looks like we need a little bit of help. Here's some things that I had. I'm sure that they were on your list too. It's hard to think about them when you're put on the spot. And some people don't like raising their hands, and speaking out in public and that sort of thing. So Don doesn't have a problem with that, but some people don't. So teaching, giving for needs, special needs. Or giving is a routine thing, which we should be doing as believers anyway all the time, right? Doing janitorial work at the church or helping clean someone's house if they have that need. Doing maintenance around the church or for your neighbors or people at work or anything like that. Serving as a deacon. Now, that's a good way of serving, isn't it? That's what deacons do, is serve. Cleaning the church facilities, just meeting others' needs that come up that we find out about. There's so many needs that people have, and sometimes they don't necessarily ask for help, but in conversation you can pick out things that you find out they have needs. Some people feel backward or awkward about help from others. So we need to be good listeners and find out what those needs are. And you don't necessarily have to help them in a way that they know you even helped them, because that makes people feel uncomfortable sometimes too. So we can help folks in ways sometimes that they don't even know it's us that helped them. Be an usher, sing in the choir, music specials, play instruments, work in the kitchen for fellowship meetings, nursery worker. You could do a nurse. You could be work in the nursery. I got that in, didn't I? Yep. Well, she didn't ask me to. I just did it anyway. Work in the sound booth. There's a lot of things we can do, and we can do a lot of things outside of a church setting or a Christian fellowship setting or out of our circle of comfortability within the church. There's so many things we can do for our friends and neighbors and people at work and other family members that may or may not know the Lord. So the main thing is that we need to think about those things that we can do. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. But first of all, let's see what the Bible says, about service. And if you have your Bible, you want to turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Most of these you probably could almost say them without even looking, but we'll turn to them anyway, because I don't memorize things very well, and it's easier for me to read them. Galatians 5, verses 13 and 14. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we truly love our neighbors ourselves, we truly love those around us, whether it's people that are in our family, people that live next to us, people at work, and if we really have care and concern for others, then we should demonstrate that to them, that we love them. And we do that by serving them in different ways. And it may be for a one-time need, or it may be an ongoing need, but there's so many things that we can do if we just reach out. Wendy's still ministering to people she used to work with at Goodwill over a year ago, and she still meets with them on a regular basis to minister to them. And those are the kinds of things that we can do. We never know what influence we'll have on folks by doing that. Turn to 1 Peter 4, 8, verses 10, 8, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, the Lord has blessed us with many abilities and many things and many opportunities. And we can take those things that we've learned, those things that he's given to us, those talents and abilities he's given to us to help other people. Don't be selfish with them. Too many times we say, Lord, thank you for teaching me that or helping with that. Then you take it and you put it on a shelf in a closet and never use it. That's metaphorically speaking, by the way. So we need to take advantage of those opportunities and use those things that he's taught us through our experiences and through the things that we've been granted or given, or the places we've been able to go to or whatever. We can use those a lot of times to help other people. Sometimes people are struggling through things that we've come through with the Lord's help, come out victorious on the other side, and we can use that as an example to show them how the Lord can work in their lives. So we need to try to do that. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. In this one passage, we see that as the Lord's talking to his disciples, that when we've had an opportunity to minister to someone else, we are not only helping someone else, but we're being a blessing to, we're obeying the Lord. We're being a blessing to others by being a blessing to someone that had need. We're being a good testimony. And we never know what impact we're going to have on someone else by one small thing that we might do. There are so many times when we pass up opportunities. There's been times even when I've given people a ride because they needed a ride. They're hitchhiking or the car broke down. I'll take them and I'll have tracks in my glove box. I'll take them to their destination and they'll thank me and off they go. And I'll think, I missed an opportunity. I could have at least given them a track out of my glove box they could have read later. There are times when I haven't. I mean, I have had opportunities where I've taken advantage of it. There's sometimes when I feel like, you know, I could have had a V8. I almost think I need to smack myself in the forehead and remember next time to take that opportunity and use it. So kind of think outside the box sometimes. We're a little bit preoccupied, all of me too. We've got a lot of things on our mind, a lot of things on our plate. We've got a lot of things going on. Sometimes we don't really seek out those opportunities like we should. So how can we serve God better? Well, actually, I was going to read one more passage. Let's turn to Romans 12, 9 through 13. Romans 12, 9 through 13. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Hospitality shows up in a lot of these verses. No, Jerry mentioned it earlier. We can be kind and show a good attitude and treat folks well that have need of encouragement. Or maybe we invite them to our home and we feed them a meal and encourage them that way, or pray for them. And we can do that. We need to do this believer to believer. It's very important that we take care of one another, that we encourage one another, that we show each other friendly, or that we show each other friendship, that we are friendly one to another, and that when those of us in our congregation, our circle of influence as Christians, have a need, that we take advantage of that opportunity and help them. So how can we serve better? You're still in the same chapter, verse Romans chapter 12, but let's back up to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now the Bible talks about the gifts that we've been given in numerous places in his word, but we have, each one of us has spiritual gifts. It's kind of sad, but I see some people that I run into that I know they have these gifts and these abilities and they don't use them. And we're probably all guilty of that to some degree. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, ask the pastor, he'll tell you. It's not really quite that easy. But you know, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is or how you can use it to serve, ask people around you. More than likely, they can tell you what your spiritual gift is. We tend to see it in other people more than we do ourselves. There are also spiritual gift surveys you can take, which are a man-made way of finding out. And they're not always 100% accurate, but they're fairly accurate. If they're based on the scripture and if they're done properly, they can kind of give you some guidance and direction toward what you may be able to do to serve. And so I would encourage you to ask others what they are, take spiritual gifts tests, get into the Word and read it, see what things speak to your heart. Ask God to show you what those spiritual gifts might be, and then use them. Let's turn to John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. We may not read this whole thing. No, I think I'm going to read it. I have to. Now, therefore, the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world into the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto the Lord, Dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto the Lord, Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he sat down again and said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I tell you what, if we could take this one passage of Scripture and emulate what Christ has done here, we would be great servants. We would be serving well. Here we have the God of the universe, his Son, who humbled him. First of all, he was obedient to God. He did what God wanted him to do. Through his entire life, up to and including giving his life for our salvation. But here we have someone that humbled himself amongst those that he was discipling, and he washed their feet. And he did it first out of obedience, but he also did out of love, because he wanted them to see what they should be doing and how they should treat one another and treat others that they minister to. But he did it also as an example to us. We should emulate what Christ did in everything he did, but especially right here in the service that he gave in this passage of Scripture. He did something that most of us probably don't do like we should. We have opportunities where we work or other places to roll up our shirt sleeves and dig in with our staff and do things, and we should. We shouldn't be afraid, or like the pastor does. He gets out there and digs ditches and things right along with us. And that's great. And we need to do the same thing. None of us is above washing toilets or scrubbing the floor or digging in a ditch or helping someone paint their house or anything else. We need to be willing to do those things. And when we do it, we're ministering to other folks in a way that gives us an opportunity to witness to them if they're not a believer, or encourage them if they are. And so we need to try to do those things. So how can we better serve? First of all, you have to serve. If you're not serving, you can't do it better. You've got to start somewhere. So first, serve. Find things that need to be done and do them. Find someone who has a need. When you're talking to folks here in the church, or if you have friends at work, or anyone in your circle of influence that you may have a conversation with, you'd be surprised how many things they tell you that they have need of just in normal conversation. And take opportunities to help them with that. They may or may not know you've helped them. That doesn't matter. Thing is, you've had an opportunity to help someone else. There may be something as simple as you're going through a going out to your car in the parking lot, you see someone struggling with getting the groceries in their car. Stop and help them. Or, the other day, there was a lady up in front of me. She's a senior lady. She's having trouble finding the change in her purse to pay for her groceries. And the people between her and me were starting to get a little bit aggravated with her. And so I was going to go around and just go ahead and pay it for her. By the time I did that, she ended up finding, I think it was 3 cents all she was looking for in her wallet. But she didn't want to break a $20 bill. She wanted to get the 3 pennies out. And that's okay. But, you know, even something like that, simple as it might sound, people recognize when you do things like that. It may give you an opportunity to say something to someone. Well, you know, praise the Lord, or, you know, God blessed me. I was able to bless someone else. Something, just to be a testimony to them. So look for those things. And then, are you serving for the right reasons? You know, I talked about that earlier when I did the introduction. I mentioned that there are a lot of people that do things today, but they don't always do them for the right reason. They do them to gain recognition or heap rewards upon themselves, sometimes even financial gain, even though they're supposed to be serving other people. But we need to do it. We need to serve for the right reason. We don't want to do it begrudgingly. We shouldn't do it saying, well, God expects me to do it, so I got to do it. Well, maybe that's the way you start doing it, but you should start learning to like doing it for the Lord. And maybe you need to check out some other things if you have that attitude. But we need to do it not begrudgingly. We need to do it not expecting to receive recognition from others for what we've done. Even the person that we're helping sometimes, they won't recognize or thank us, and that's okay. It'd be nice if they did, but they don't have to. And if you do it wanting that or expecting that, then maybe that's not the right reason to be doing it. And then you also sometimes people do it wanting the recognition of those around them, their peers and others, saying, wow, what a great job you've done. You'll pat you on the back. Well, you got your reward right then. Our reward's not here. It's up with the Lord. We need to do things to help others, no matter whether we get recognition or not. And then certainly we want to do it because we want to please God too. And he's told us that we need to serve others. We need to do things for other folks and help them. And so we need to try to focus on doing those things with the right attitude, for the right reasons, looking for opportunities, but do something. And I know sometimes you'll say, well, I can't afford to help them. Well, maybe or maybe not. Maybe you can help someone that does have the resources to help them, but you may be the person that helps get that done. Or, you know, it taxes me physically if I have to do that. Well, maybe, but the Lord will heal you back up and you'll feel better the next day. I know Robin was out digging the ditches when his shoulder was just about ready to come apart. I think he's got a rotator cuff or something. And he's out there digging ditches anyway. You know, that's sacrifice. We can do those things. Sometimes we probably make more excuses than we need to in regards to those things. But, don't do it the right reasons. Just do it. Get involved. Find out what you need, what you can do to get involved, and then do it. So what really each of us need to ask ourselves tonight is, how is my service? And how can I improve it?